Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, this is the Burke Allen Show on WAMS with Billboard Magazine award-winning broadcaster Burke Allen. Interesting guests, intriguing topics, and your phone calls at 718-506-1944. The Burke Allen Show is a presentation of Allen Media Strategies, online at allenmediastrategies.com. Now, celebrating his third decade behind the mic, here's Burke Allen.
It's a sunny, beautiful day in our nation's capital. Our number again, 718-506-1944. How often do you think about your retirement, your golden years? Will you still have golden years in the wake of the economic downturn of the last couple of years? Well, Mark Singer, the author of a new book on retirement and the president of Safe Harbor Retirement Planning, says you need to be worried about your retirement. He's worked with thousands of folks for over two decades now to help them get lined up and ready to go for the retirement. We're going to pick Mark's brain today, and you're welcome to as well, wherever you're listening. Mark, welcome to the Burke Allen Show.
Good morning, Burke, and it is a gorgeous day.
Now, how does a guy, as a young man, we dream of being a fireman or a football player or a million other things. How does somebody say, you know, I want to help people with their retirement? Where does that come from?
Great question. I was in sales for my first few years out of college and enjoyed that. And believe it or not, maybe 3 or 4 years out of college, I actually started working with a financial planner. And I found it very helpful. And at some point, I remember going back to him and saying, you know what, I feel more comfortable selling concepts versus widgets. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, maybe you ought to try our industry. So he sent me on to Mutual of New York to learn the basics of financial planning through the life insurance industry, and I stayed there for about 5 minutes because I really didn't like that end of the business, and sent me out on my own sprawling 25 years ago to stake a claim in the ground of financial planning. I've loved it ever since.
So you came to this as a pretty young guy, but that is rather atypical of most people. Most people in their 20s and even 30s don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about retirement. How big a mistake is that?
Huge. I've done seminars, workshops, speaking engagements for many years on many different topics, and the one that comes to mind, and it's sort of in line with, you know, retirement, even though retirement is further out for many. College is another one of those things that we deal with our clients. And I remember in an exit interview from one of the people who attended one of the college planning seminars, she said, well, I guess the lesson I learned here was I have to start putting money away before the kids come out of the womb. And it's sort of like retirement. But whoever thinks of, before a kid comes out, putting money away for college. You know, my daughter just recently graduated from college. For those who have 16 or 17-year-olds, that's sort of when reality strikes and you go, oh, my God, what am I going to do about college?
Right.
For retirement, that sort of hits now in the 50 to 55 age, and it's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do about retirement? So we don't do well as a society in terms of looking out in the long run to do the planning. And
Mark Singer is our guest, and he's talking with us about retirement and financial planning as a whole. As you mentioned, planning for retirement and college as well are equally important. The website, by the way, if you'd like to visit Mark online, is 55retire.com. That's 55retire.com. Mark, there was a study that was released a few days ago by the Employee Benefit Research Institute here in Washington, D.C., and it essentially forecast that today's baby boomers and Gen Xers might have to work well into their 70s or even their early 80s to afford retirement. They say that 80 is the new 65. You say, obviously, in your website, 55 retire. Is it realistic to think that you can actually retire at 55, or are those days behind us?
Well, I guess it all depends.
Okay.
The big question is, based on the income that you're going to need for your retirement And for those of us who are living longer now, that income need is much higher now because we're living many more years than our parents or their parents did. So the big question is, one, you have to define that cash flow need that you're going to need in retirement, then figure out which items of income will be coming in. Are you getting a pension? Are you getting Social Security? Do you have rental income? So let's say, for instance, you need, as a number, $6,000 a month in retirement, and between pension and Social Security, you're bringing in $4,000 a month. That means that you have a $2,000 a month shortfall. So the question about when you can retire really gets back to, have you invested enough money to generate the $2,000 a month income shortfall that you're going to need? And that gets back to, you know, there's a wonderful series of commercials that are out there, Burke, on do you know what your number is? Mm-hmm. You know, the guy who has, you know, under his arm, he's got $1,672,432 in a number, and it gets hit by the bus, and it goes up in smoke in the restaurant. And the most recent iteration of that is a guy who's up on a hedge, and he's cutting the hedge, and his neighbor comes to him and says, well, you know, how much do you need for your retirement? And above his head, it says, a gazillion bazillion. And he says, well, how are you going to plan for that? I said, I don't know. I'm just going to throw as much up as I can and see what sticks.
Right.
That sort of seems to be what everybody is doing right now, where the quote-unquote number that we need to have saved to generate that income seems to be getting larger and larger. And unfortunately, in our society, we don't deal with that well. We don't understand how to save on a consistent basis small amounts of money that will end up being, over many years, a much larger amount of money that could potentially generate that cash flow that we need. So for some, hey, the landscape has changed dramatically. And that really is what prompted me to write the book about the changing landscape. All the headlines are about the landscape changing. We're getting older. The market has not participated and given us much in the way of performance over the past 11 years. In essence, it's been flat for an 11-year period. It's blown up many of those plans that we thought, oh my gosh, we have $1 million. Oops, we only have 400,000. And we're 55 years old. So there's a sense of panic and frustration that is out there. And the emotions are what is really leading the conversation right now about the fear. What is going to happen if I were to retire traditionally at 65? Will I have enough income? And the answer for many emotionally is no, but that's where you have to get back to the planning and do the real tough work of doing the financial planning or the retirement planning to really know what your number is and how to get there.
Mark Singer is our guest today from 55retired.com. You mentioned a new book, and the title of the book is?
The Changing Landscape of Retirement, What You Don't Know Could Hurt You.
And that's what we want to find out today. If you've got a question for Mark, the number is 718-506-1944. There's a recent study that I read that says lots of Americans are taking out their Social Security benefits well before age 65. And I think the number was, don't quote me on this, 72%. We're dipping in before they hit 65. Good idea or bad idea?
Well, again, it gets back to that great answer I have, which is it all depends. We created what was called the Retirement Roadmap. And this roadmap helps to coordinate all the various moving pieces that are an integral part of understanding whether or not you can retire, and if you can retire, when should you retire, and if you retire at a certain date, what pieces of income should you be taking and when. We recently had a new client come in who told me that he was going to take his Social Security early, and early for him was 63, even though he was going to retire at 65. And when we ended up going back and doing a hypothetical tax return for him, it was clear for him that he was much better off to wait 2 or 3 years to when he actually retired, because the Social Security benefits were going to be taxed at such a high rate. So for him, it was not a good idea. It all depends. If you need the income, depends on how much income you're going to be generating. What are the taxes that are going to be taken from Social Security? And yes, you will be taxed on your Social Security benefit. It seems like it shouldn't be that way, but that is what the IRS says. And so if you can wait and get an increase over time, it may be good for you, but there is no, you know, book rule of thumb that says you should or should not. It really is all dependent upon your own particular roadmap.
So it really does sound like there's no way to take the McDonald's approach to retirement. It is a very individualized piece for every person that you work with. And one of the interesting things that I learned in looking at your website, 55retire.com, is that it's markedly different in planning retirement for women as it is for men, and you work a lot with women and their retirement challenges.
Yeah, great point, Burke. About a third of our clientele are women who are in transition. And if you think about it, from our perspective, it's really not too different. If you're about to retire, you were just working for 30 or 40 years, and now you've got to set up the planning for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. For the women who are in transition, and typically that's defined by those who are recently widowed or divorced, they have been doing something for a period of time, could be 30 or 40 years, and now they've got a plan for the rest of their life. The big difference in the success of our dealing with the women who are in transition is that the communication process is very different when we are dealing with women than typically we deal with couples or just men.
Now, what do you mean by that, a difference in the communication process?
Men and women, pink and blue, Venus and Mars, we all deal with communications in a little bit different way. Our industry, just to focus in on our industry has typically been male-dominated, talking to other males, where the industry has been dealing with, oh, this transaction or this trade or this stock or this bond, and we have typically not been on the same page or communicating at a level where we can connect properly with women and how they think about it. Women need gather more information before they make decisions. Women need to learn, and actually women want to learn more about their finances, but we as an industry in general have not done a good job of reaching out and communicating to them in a way that connects. I'll give you a perfect example. We have a client who we picked up a couple years ago. She was widowed about 7 or 8 years ago. And she told me the following story. Her husband, who had passed, had left her his prized BMW. And every time that she went to the dealership to get the BMW serviced, she felt that they were talking at her, not with her. Again, that gets back to the typical male-to-male. They didn't know how to deal with the woman who was bringing in the BMW. She had to make the most difficult decision she made since her husband had passed. She was so enraged, that was her word, enraged, every time she left that dealership, that in order to feel good about herself, she had to sell the BMW. So we've got to learn how to connect with women. And, you know, obviously I'm not a woman, but I've had a daughter for 23 years. And she has taught me many different ways about how to listen. And we have to understand what our female clientele is saying. It's not always the words that they're using. But from dealing with them for so many years, we've developed the wisdom to understand more, and I'm always learning more, more about what they're actually saying and how to come back to them in exactly the form that they need in order to make the decision on their time so that they're comfortable. And then we've got to reinforce that along the way. So our process of a roadmap helps them to understand where they are and to also deal with the emotions and the economics of the planning. And with the women, we deal a lot with the emotions. With the men, we deal a lot with the economics. But for both, we deal with both.
Mark Singer is our guest today. We're talking retirement planning. He's been a retirement guide and has helped build this roadmap for thousands of folks in the past two decades. He has a new book coming out that focuses in on retirement, too. And we'll have more with Mark Singer and how you can plan for your retirement in just moments. 718-506-1944 is our number for the Burke Allen Show. Hang on. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
This just in. Now you can speak your email instead of typing it. It's the revolutionary new online breakthrough that's being called the next big thing on the internet. Video email. It's easy to use, saves time, and you'll be the first to have it. But wait, there's more. You could also broadcast your own live TV show online. Use it for family, friends, or business presentations. Video email and online TV broadcast? How much would that cost? Hundreds? Thousands? How about less than $4 a day? Find out more. Visit GreatVideoTool.com today. That's GreatVideoTool.com. Do it now. GreatVideoTool.com.
Are you afraid of things that go bump in the night? Dark Force, the true and terrifying story of Bill Bean, has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, Coast to Coast AM, and more. Now, Bill Bean shares his amazing story of horror and redemption in his own words. You can own a personally autographed copy of Dark Force by Bill Bean at a special low price for radio listeners. Visit BillBeanBook.com today. That's BillBeanBook.com and experience Dark Force.
Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show live in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., as we talk retirement planning with Mark Singer from 55retire.com. He's an author and for the past two decades has put together retirement roadmaps for people from his offices near Boston, Massachusetts. Mark, let's talk about Social Security, and this is an email question from Marianne, who's in Nebraska this afternoon, and she wants to know whether Social Security benefits will be there for her when she retires. And it's a great question. You constantly hear in the news that, you know, Social Security will be gone in a matter of years. What say you?
It's a great question. We have actually, we're in the process of putting together what we call our retirement boot camp. It's a series of events for our clients and the community to bring in various experts to talk about different topics that will impact retirees. And we are about to have a person who was the 35-year voice in the Boston area who worked for Social Security and recently retired in December. So we're hoping he will actually give us the real scoop behind the numbers. There is an issue about Social Security. It must be changed. It has traditionally been that third rail of politics where nobody wanted to touch it. However, let me digress for just a moment. When Social Security was originally designed, there were many more people working in the workforce than there were retired. What's happened over time is that we are now living much longer than we were 60 to 70 years ago, and more of us are going to be retired than in the workforce. So what that's meaning is that we are taking out more now than the inflow that they've got, which means in the future the proceeds within Social Security to distribute to us will be depleting. There are various numbers there about quote-unquote bankruptcy for Social Security. You know, those numbers, you know, typically they're looking at the year 2030 or somewhere around there. My daughter is 23. Will Social Security be there for her? You know, I wouldn't bet the house on it. I'm 56. I'm pretty certain that they will do what is necessary to make in terms of adjustments to the Social Security system, but those adjustments are going to be very hard fought. Seniors, those who are retired, let me say, have put in money and expected almost contractually that they are to get a certain amount of money for the rest of their lives, and they've paid in. Younger people are paying in and are going to be expecting something in return. So you're going to have a real battle between those who are retired and it's sort of like a pension, don't touch that, versus those who are putting the money in and paying for that pension and saying we want something in return. So there are going to be adjustments. There have been over the past 10 or 15 years. They have made minor adjustments to it in terms of, you know, retirement age, means testing, which means that based on your income level, some of your Social Security will be taxed at a higher level. Cost of living adjustments, the COLA. The last couple of years have been the first time in, I believe, in Social Security's history that they did not have cost of living increases in terms of inflationary increases. So the administration, Medicare, Social Security, the entitlements are a huge part of the budget deficits that we are running now and will continue to run. Things must change. I believe in the American system. I believe that we are innovative enough to make it work, but we tend not to really make major adjustments until you know what hits the fan. Mm-hmm. So I think I have faith that it will be there, but I'm not sure in what form, and it all depends how old you are.
And having said that, Mark, and you mentioned Medicare as well, would you advise your clients, certainly your younger clients, that they should not count on Social Security and Medicare, but instead plan a retirement package as if those were not going to be there?
It's a great question. For my clients right now, and typically we work with those who are over 50, we are putting in Social Security, but we're limiting the cost of living adjustments or inflation adjustments. So we're really trying to put some sort of buffer in there, a margin of error. For those who are in their 20s or 30s, you know, it may be a good idea to take a look at what they project and then cut that number at some point. Maybe you cut it to a third or a half of that number. But what that's going to do is it's going to put more of the burden on you to do the saving. And that saving has to come in a very predictable and consistent way. In other words, you know, if you're with a 401k plan, make sure you're taking advantage of that and putting money away on a weekly or biweekly or monthly basis. If you don't have the 401k plan, you know, make sure that you're putting some money away on that same consistent, frequent basis over time, because over the long run, compound effect of money will make it, you know, be worth a lot more later. So if you are younger, you have a lot more time to save, and the only time to do it, when to start doing that, is yesterday.
Mark Singer is our guest today on the Burke Allen Show. Our number is 718-506-1944. He's talking retirement. And, Mark, as folks look at this and they think, geez, I'd love to have a Mark Singer or someone like a Mark Singer in my corner, but that's an extra added expense on top of trying to save for retirement, which frankly is difficult enough already. How do you justify the extra expense that a retirement coach, if you will, like yourself, would cost? And how do folks pay for that? Is it a percentage? Is it a flat fee? How does that actually work for folks who've never used a retirement planner?
Burke, it's a great question. As I mentioned earlier, I had hired a financial planner when I was in my 20s. And the reason for that was that I thought I did a pretty good job of what I did professionally, but planning for the finances for the next 5, 10, 30, 50 years, I felt like I didn't have really the tools to deal with that, and I did not have a problem in spending some money to bring in an expert to help me do that. Now, there are various pieces of financial planning, if you will. The first is the planning portion of it. And for most of the mature firms like ours, we actually charge a fee to do the planning. And depending upon the type of firm you work with, that fee could range from, you know, $500 to $1,000 at the low end to, depending upon your finances, upwards of $4,000 or $5,000 a year. To have all of the conversations and to coordinate your roadmap at an objective level, and I say objective, and it's an important point to understand. The old model of financial planners or brokers or advisors or insurance agents was that the way they got paid was on the transaction, on the commission. And oftentimes that was driven by, you know, what the planner or broker or advisor's needs were, not necessarily the client's. So it's important when you look to somebody that you look for somebody that is independent, that can make a decision that is in the client's best interest. As it so happens, in our upcoming book, we devote an entire chapter on how to select a financial advisor, the whole evolution of the financial planning industry, and the questions to ask so that you make sure that you're with the right person. If I have a broken elbow, I don't want to go to a heart doctor. So there are many different types of planners that are out there, and you need to make sure that you ask the right questions, because you are accountable for interviewing that planner and then hiring him or her. So, you know, there's the planning fee, then there's also the money management fee, and the big question is, how can I justify that? My analogy is, I go to an accountant every year. He charges me a certain amount of money. If he can get me more deductions than I can find or that I paid for him, he was a good investment.
Sure.
If the planner that you use can find you ways to create solutions for the planning that you're looking to have done for you in the future that you could not, then that is probably a good value proposition for you. If you can do it on your own, you do it on your own.
Now, Mark, you've talked about each person having an individual roadmap for their retirement and there not being a sort of a cookie-cutter process. But I would imagine after working with hundreds, maybe thousands of people as you've done this over the past couple of decades, you probably have spotted a handful of common mistakes that people make in retirement planning. And in our last couple of minutes here, before we wrap up, could you share maybe two or three of those common mistakes that we should avoid in retirement planning?
Number one, believe it or not, it's planning. Most people don't think much beyond tomorrow. They'll spend all sorts of time on planning for their trip to Disney.
Right.
But they won't do it for the retirement. So, first of all, take the time to do the planning. Secondly, and you mentioned it earlier, Burke, people are now concerned and afraid that they may have to work till they're 80 or 85. I find right now, with all the frustration that we are feeling in terms of getting older as baby boomers, with the frustration with the markets not performing over the last 11 years, we're sort of projecting out now that nothing will ever work. And that gets to the emotional side. And therefore, when we think nothing will ever work, we think everything's bleak, everything's dark, and that we're gonna this that we're experiencing now will last forever.
Right.
The benefit of doing a roadmap is to take the emotions out of the decision-making process, to put the numbers to paper, and to understand and coordinate what you're feeling and what keeps you up at night. So to do the planning, to take the emotions out, and then finally, most people who think of financial planning, they think of investing or money management. A recent study came out that showed that almost 80% of those that have money in 401ks are in equities or all in stocks. Well, that's not working right now, and you have to upgrade and update your investment portfolios and your money management to reflect what's happening in today's investment environment. So the three things, if you will, that I think that are very crucially important. One, do the planning. Two, take the emotions out, if at all possible, and by doing that, you do the retirement roadmap. And three, update your investment portfolio.
Outstanding advice. Mark Singer, our guest today. You can find him online at 55retire.com. That's 55retire.com. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with our listeners today, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Burke.
Mark Singer, our guest today, and be sure to look for Mark's new book on retirement planning in stores soon. His website, again, 55retire.com. Now, go out and make it a great day. Thanks for listening.